Week one, lock them up. They'll beat Seattle.
I love it.
You're listening to Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T.
And welcome to Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T. I'm Matt DeBeek, and I am joined with Pete Prisco, senior NFL writer from CBS Sports, someone I worked with for several years when I was there. It is great to see you, and thanks for taking time out of one of the busiest days of the year to spend time with us at AtlantaFalcons.com. Appreciate it, brother.
All good, man. Look, the cuts are easy these days. There's not a lot going on. A lot of guys you expected to be cut got cut.
Yeah, so let's just start right with the Falcons, Pete. Any surprise moves, you know, as far as you're concerned today with that final 53-man roster?
No, not at all.
Nothing. No. You know, some fans got excited when they signed Laquon Treadwell. You know, they were thinking, hey, we're going to have three first-round receivers when they go three wide, but he just didn't stand out in camp, and there's some young receivers there just – like Christian Blake, that just stood out and played better.
And you know what? That's what you do in that scenario. You got to put the name aside and go with the game. And I've always said that. And clearly, judging by, you know, what I read and heard from up there, Treadwell did not have a great camp. He doesn't run. He doesn't run that well. That's a problem. And so that wasn't a surprise to me. And I looked up and down their cuts, and I'm like, where's the shock? There really wasn't any. I didn't think. Did you think that? I didn't think there was a surprise in all of them.
No, I mean, I do my annual roster predictions. I got 50 out of 53 this year, and two of them were just because the Falcons went with a different number, you know, along the offensive and defensive lines. You know, I had Treadwell making it at the end there just because I thought first-round pedigree, he's got some experience, he's got that size. You know, maybe that, you know, he's like a, you know, like a Mohamed Sanu type receiver, but Falcons thought differently.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that. Their cuts were actually pretty easy. Most of the cuts in the league were pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, do you think not having a preseason hurt any of these guys, Pete? Do you think it hurt maybe the undrafted free agents?
I'm a big believer in, by the time you go to camp, you usually know which 20 are getting cut. And then you got to figure out which of the rest of the guys are going to fight for the other jobs. I think it's pretty easy to cut. And I've always believed that. Now, will there be one or two guys that slip through the cracks and maybe wind up on another team and become a contributor, maybe even a starter? Absolutely. That can happen. You know, they might not have got the opportunity that they've had in the past. I think the expanded practice squad rosters will be good for a lot of young guys, too. And it's going to be good for some veterans because you can keep five veterans on those things. So that'll help as well. So it's just not the same cut day. It hasn't been the same for a long time, by the way, because teams clean out all their overpaid veterans who aren't contributing before they even get to camp most of the time. So it's not anything like what it used to be.
Well, speaking about those moves and those offseason moves, you could argue that's where the Falcons really – had maybe made some of the more surprising moves this offseason. I know we'll get into the NFC South in a second, but, you know, the Falcons surprised everybody, Pete, when they went out and it looked like they wouldn't be able to keep, you know, Austin Hooper, and they went out and traded a second-round pick for Hayden Hurst, a kid that they really – well, he's not really a kid. He's older, but they really liked him, you know, in the
draft. He's older than you, Tabeek.
Yeah, I tell you what, they love his size, his quickness, and they liked him, you know, heading into that draft. And so they traded for him, and as you know, they signed Dante Fowler, they signed Todd Gurley on a one-year prove-it deal. So what do you think of their off-season moves?
Well, let me start with Hurst. I followed his career close. I followed him. I remember him in high school. He's a Jacksonville kid. He's from where when I used to live up there. So I think, you know, you read all the stories about him. He had a lot of off-the-field issues he had to fight through. Then by the time he was in Baltimore, he lost, you know, Mark Andrews passed him by. I think, and we had Matt Ryan on earlier this summer, and Matt was raving about him, raving about him. Said he's as athletic as Gonzalez and those guys, and that's high, and Hooper, and that's high praise. So I think he's got a chance to have a big year in that offense, and that'll help open up stuff on the outside, much like Hooper did. So he's also a pretty good blocker, so I think that'll be good for their offense. I think Fowler was immature as a kid when he came into the league. I mean, he missed meetings, he missed rehab assignments, he got fined a bunch of times. Remember, he got his money back from those fines, but what they didn't say is how much he actually had to pay for ones that were warranted. And so I think going to LA helped him. He's never going to be an elite pass rusher, but what he is, he's a lot like Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney. Really good run player, plays hard, plays tough, can get to the quarterback as well. So I like that signing. Gurley, if Gurley can give you a year or two, they should clap like crazy for it, because I think that knee has been a problem for a while. And, you know, you've watched him in camp more than I have. Is he dragging it? Does he look the same? Does he look great? Well, if he looks good, that running game will be better than what it's been. But does it really matter about the back? The line has to be better. Lindstrom has to be good. The rookie left guard has to be good. I think McGarry's going to be better. I think with Lindstrom and McGarry both being around for a whole year, I think the right side will be much better.
Yeah, if you've seen Chris Lindstrom, he's a guy that I know you would like a lot. He has redefined himself physically. And, you know, he missed that. He went out in that first game, Pete, last year against the Vikings, the opener, missed a bunch of games, came back for the final four games. They went 4-0. They played well, as you know, down the stretch, went 6-2. Went into New Orleans, beat them, went into San Francisco and won. So, you know, and then they beat the Bucs in overtime at the end. But, you know, that's been a lot of the talk, and they keep that, you know, momentum going. And they feel good about that line right now. Matt Hennessy.
Well, and Matt, you know, the line, when it's bad in the interior, has always bothered Matt Ryan in his career. It bothers any quarterback.
Sure.
But for him, he's a long strider. He needs to be able to step into his passes. And I think people around his legs have always been a problem for him. So they got to be stout in the middle. And I think, you know, with Lindstrom being good, Mack get another run on it. Hennessy will ultimately be the center, I think. But he's going to play left guard. They'll be better in the middle. They will be tougher in the middle, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, if Hayden Hurst can block better and he's a good blocker, that's going to help immensely too, because we all know the weapons they have outside. They're pretty good.
Love the weapons outside. Julio's still, to me, the, you know, one or two in the league. You know, for whatever reason, they talk about the great receivers in the league. For some reason, they forget Julio. You know, Michael Thomas this and DeAndre Hopkins that. No, Julio. Julio's a beast. You know, then Calvin Ridley, I thought he would take the giant step next year. I mean, last year,
yeah.
Didn't quite happen, but I expect it to happen this year. And I've heard nothing but great things about him coming out of there. He's been phenomenal. And they have weapons. They're going to, you know, they are going to get and score points because they have a lot of weapons, which brings you back to the argument that we've had, the problem they've had for a couple of years. What about the defense?
Before we get off the offense, though, you know, Matt Ryan, considering everything you just talked about, I mean, he's put up really good numbers, steady numbers, and he can still make all the throws. I say all the time, I do a, you know, Monday through Friday mailbag with fans. I'm shocked that I have to defend him sometimes. He is playing still at an elite level, and he's been sacked 48 times. He was sacked last year, 42 the year before. And so they need to shore that up. If they do, I think, you know, watch out with that offense.
Matt Ryan is one of the more underappreciated and picked apart quarterbacks in the NFL. It makes no sense to me. He wins an MVP and everybody goes, a big deal. You know, he didn't win the Super Bowl. It wasn't his fault they didn't win the Super Bowl. They should have run the ball three times and kicked a field goal, and they would have had a ring sitting there in Atlanta, but that's a whole nother story. Matt Ryan's an elite quarterback. He can still play at a very high level when everything around him is, you know, the protection's good. I don't understand how Atlanta fans don't think he's good, or if there are any, because I think he's outstanding. He's proven that over the course of his career. And you know what? In the second year with a coordinator, and now he's worked with Dirk Cutter before, but this is the second go-around with him in the second year with Dirk Cutter. If you look at the history in the second year with his coordinators, he takes a big jump. I expect Matt Ryan to have a big year this year for that offense.
I think so, too. We'll find out soon enough. But, yeah, let's switch gears and go to the defensive side of the ball. I know how you feel about Grady Jarrett. I know you just are a huge fan of his. They let Vic Beasley go. They still got Tack, and he's playing in the final year, and then they got Fowler. And then Deion Jones is, you know, he finally came back, rebounded back, and he's one of the better linebackers. Just what are your thoughts on this defense? And, you know, they turn things around. At the midpoint last year, Pete, and they got Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich And Dan Quinn still has his hands on the defense, but they figured out some things. What do you think about this unit in general when you look at the tape?
Well, they got to stay healthy. I mean, that's been the thing that's killed them the most over the years. I mean, that one year they got decimated right up the middle. Everybody got hurt, and that Keanu Neal hasn't, he hasn't been the same, I don't think, since the Super Bowl. Right? Isn't that right? Since this
back-to-back season-ending injuries, but yeah. He's back. He looks leaner. I'm telling you, he looks good, and he doesn't look like he's missed a step, and that's what people are saying about him. So,
and by the way, it's been a franchise that's seemingly been chasing the pass rush since John Abraham went out the door. And they've drafted, and they've signed guys, and they haven't worked out. And, Ray Edwards, remember that flop that happened? And things haven't worked out. So without a great pass rush, you better be good on the back end, and they haven't traditionally been great on the back end. So I think now if you get Fowler – how's McKinley look? That's because, this is a big year for him. I think he has the tools to be a good player and a good pass rusher, but he's got to put it together.
Tell you what, he looks physically, when he showed up, he looked like a different guy. I mean,
he was thick. He always was a little thicker, right? Yeah.
But now he's cut. He's leaner. He's dropped some weight. He looks faster. He's playing faster. Does it translate? I mean, everything's in line for a breakout year, right? I mean, you're in the final year. He's motivated. He looks good. He benefits the Falcons. Everyone wins if he plays well this year. So,
and they got enough bodies next to Jarrett that they can get by there. They're good enough with those guys. I just think if they can get McKinley and Fowler getting a quarterback, I think that's big. The other linebacker, because you're going to play two.
Oh, yeah.
He'll play, but hasn't Walker been playing a lot too? And I've read that. And
Michael Walker, yeah, he's the rookie, and he's had a knack for making plays, Pete. And he is, every time there's a tip ball, when he's on the field, when there's a tip ball, a fumble, a pick, he's there. He's got a nose for the ball. I mean, here he is again. You keep hearing it. Walker again. So, yeah, not to, put the bar too high for him, but he's looked good in camp.
And they're going to start a rookie corner, clearly. And I heard he's had a great camp.
He's lined up on the ones. He's lined up on Julio and Ridley, and he has held his own. How does that translate? Week one against the Seahawks, we'll find out. But
it will be AJ and Denard in the slot. And
Isaiah Oliver is the other corner.
Yeah, that's a good group. But they'll play Denard in the slot, though, right?
It looks like he's going to play more inside.
Yeah, and then you got
Kendall Sheffield.
You got three. You got Sheffield as a reserve. You got three safeties that can all play too, and you can do a lot of different things with Ricardo Allen. I mean, he's versatile. They'll be okay in the secondary, better than people think. I think the defense has a chance to be much improved, but again, you got to be able to knock the quarterback down. That's why Fowler and McKinley are so big.
Well, let's talk about the NFC South, because if there was a team, Pete, that won the offseason, it would have to be what are they calling them?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Buccaneers. Wow. Every time you turn around, they're signing another.
Here's what I'm going to say about that, okay? You got a 43-year-old quarterback. He is 43. He's still Tom Brady, but he's 43. You sign Gronkowski, who didn't play last year, is coming out of retirement. You add Leonard Fournette, who was cut by the Jaguars because he doesn't make anybody miss. I mean, you can go through the entire offseason and pick it apart if you want to. Now, it's Tom Brady, it's Rob Gronkowski, so it's a little bit different. But I'm a big believer in Bruce Arians as a coach. I just want to see what Tom Brady is. We don't, it's an assumption. 43, he's going to be the same guy. Well, at some point, he's not going to be. Mm. So I still think they're going to be good. I don't know how good. Their how good will be defined by how good they are in the secondary. I mean, the secondary has all young kids. Antoine Winfield's going to be back there. Jamal Dean. They're young back there. And here's another thing about the defense. Was Shaq Barrett's season something that is going to happen again and again, or was it an aberration from what he was before? Because he never did it before.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But they're talented. They have a good coach. I'm a big believer in their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. But there doesn't come without questions. Let's put it that way.
They've still got weapons on the outside on that offense, Mike Evans and Godwin. And, you know, that defense is a little long in the tooth, but they're still – they were great against the run last year.
Well, Vita Vea is a force in the middle in there, man. He's really good. And you know, Pierre-Paul and Barrett can rush the passer, and the linebackers fly because David can run and Devin White can run. I mean, they're good. The secondary will ultimately what decides how good they are.
And, you know, the Saints are still the Saints. You know, they didn't lose.
They're the best team.
You know, with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, you just got to feel good that they're going to be there. And they've got weapons. They didn't lose a whole lot this offseason. There's talk now about them being in line to sign Clowney. I don't know how you feel about that.
He's like Fowler. That would be a good addition for them, but he's not an elite pass rusher.
Okay.
But they drafted Marcus Davenport. Remember, they made the move to go get him, and he's been okay, just hasn't lived up to what they thought he would be. They need help, like the Falcons did. They need help on the other side from Cam Jordan. But they're the best team in the division.
What do you make of the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule? Do you have any thoughts on what's happening?
He's a good coach. He will get the best out of those guys. They're going to be young as heck on defense, so they're going to give up a lot of points. But they're going to be pretty good on offense, and I think they'll have to be because Joe Brady's a heck of an offensive coordinator. I think the line will be okay. Not great, but be okay. They have weapons, and they have Christian McCaffrey, and Teddy Bridgewater will get the ball out of his hands. I think they'll score points. I think they're going to give up a lot of points. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I mean, think about it. They're going to start Derek Brown, Ettore Gross-Matus. Jeremy Chinn's going to be a starter in some form or fashion. They got a lot of young guys at corner. They're going to start Pride from Notre Dame. He's a rookie. That's four rookies that are going to be a big part of their defense. So I think they're going to give up points, but watch out for them in a year or two, depending on what Bridgewater does. If Bridgewater can show that five-game season he had last year for the Saints is back to who he is now, then they'll keep him and he'll be pretty good, and they'll be pretty good next year. But this year they're going to give up a ton of points.
Quick question, though. Who are they going to throw to? Who are their weapons outside that scare you?
Well, I mean, don't forget they added Robbie Anderson. He can fly. They added they have Moore, who's a good player, and then they have Samuel, who they expect to get back going again in their offense. Keep an eye on the tight end Ian Thomas. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Okay.
They'll score points. I worry about the defense more than anything.
Fair enough. Well, let me just ask you this, big picture wise, what do you think it's going to take? We know you like the Saints. We know that you think the Falcons are going to be competitive. Do you think the Falcons can be competitive enough to push for an NFC South title?
Yes.
And think that they're a playoff team?
Yes. Yes and yes. I think they'll be a wild card team. You remember, you get extra wild card team, right?
Yep.
So I think the Saints will win the division, but it wouldn't shock me to see any of those three teams win it. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I think Bucks will finish second and the Falcons will finish third. And I think they're all going to be close together. Like 10-6 might win it, 9-7, 9-7, something like that. And then you'll get a wild card spot. I think the Falcons, and by the way, no matter which team is the wild card and which team wins it, the other two are going to be capable of going through the postseason and winning games and getting to the Super Bowl. I think it's a good division. I think the Falcons are being underrated by a lot of people, and they shouldn't be. Everybody's focusing on Tampa and New Orleans, but I think the Falcons, that little run at the end of the year showed some things, and I think they'll get back to playing that kind of football. In fact, week one, lock them up. They'll beat Seattle.
I love it. And just last question for you. What is going to be the key for this team outside of health? What do you think is the key for the Falcons to have a successful season? What
quarterback down. You got to knock the quarterback down and protect the quarterback. You can't allow Matt Ryan to get hit 48, sacked 48 times and hit. Who knows? I forget how many. The hits were amazing. He took a ton of them last year. Protect him, knock the other guys down. You'll be a playoff team and maybe much more.
Pete, good to see you, man.
Always.
This is Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T.